Although our reading this morning was in Numbers chapter 12, I want to take as our text today a verse in Micah chapter 6. In Micah 6 and verse 4, we read, "And I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of servants. And I send before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam." Miriam. What do we know about this woman, Miriam? We are first introduced to her in amazing circumstances, as we see from Exodus chapter 2. You turn to Exodus 2, please. And there in Exodus 2, in verse 3, we read, "And when she could not no longer hide him," that is Moses, "she took for him an ark of bulrushes, daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she led it in the flags by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him." Verse 7. "Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, Go. And the maid went and called the child's mother." Here we are introduced to Miriam in Exodus chapter 2. We don't have her name given here, but she is referred to as the sister of Moses. She's also described here as the maid. She was a maid in the house of Pharaoh. And here we see the providential workings of the Lord in the life of Miriam. That the Lord had Miriam as a maid in the house of Pharaoh in order that she might see to it that the child Moses would be cared for not only by her, but also by the mother of Moses. Being the sister of Moses means that she was also the sister of Aaron. The word used there in Exodus 2, describing her as a maid, means that she was a woman. The word used is the word that is used to describe a woman of marriageable age. She wasn't exactly a young girl. She was of marriageable age. She could not, therefore, have been less than 11 or 12 years of age, or 12 years older than Moses, and 8 or 9 years older than Aaron, who was 3 years older than Moses. And so Miriam was the eldest in the family of 3. It was Miriam, Aaron, and then Moses. A family that was indeed greatly favored of the Lord. You think of the 3 children in this family. Moses had been chosen by the Lord to lead Israel out of Egypt. Aaron, his brother, was a high priest. And Miriam was also chosen by the Lord to do a work for the Lord, as we have seen there in Micah chapter 6. For there in Micah 6 and verse 4, "For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of servants, and sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam." And so here we have Miriam, who has been chosen by the Lord to do a work for the Lord in relation to the children of Israel and brought out of Egypt. And so we want to consider Miriam this morning in this series of the wicked and wonderful women that we find in the Word of God. I want us first of all then, in the light of what we have here in Micah 6 and verse 4, I want us to consider the ministry of Miriam. In our text we see that Miriam and her two brothers were involved in the Lord's work. And I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. And we see that from these words that Miriam played a part. She had a part with Moses and Aaron in bringing Israel out of Egypt. Maybe we tend to forget that. We know about Moses, all right, being used to bring Israel out. And we know that Aaron played his part, but here we have Miriam mentioned in relation to the Lord's delivering of Israel from the house of bondage. And the first thing we notice about her ministry is that Miriam was sent by the Lord. That's what it says. And I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Now the leading of Israel out of the house of bondage was indeed a momentous occasion. And along with Moses and Aaron, we find the Lord chose Miriam to go before the delivered Israelites. Here we see the privilege that was bestowed upon Miriam. She had her part in the leading of Israel out of Egypt. Privilege. Think of it, of all the women that made up the congregation of the children of Israel, of all the women in Israel, the Lord chose Miriam. The Lord chose Miriam to join Moses and Aaron in this leading of Israel out of Egypt. Here was an honor bestowed upon this woman alone. Indeed, in many ways we could say that she was blessed among women. For she most certainly was. And of course it's always an honor. It is always a privilege to serve the Lord, and an honor to be chosen by the Lord to serve Him. That is the highest honor that can be bestowed upon any Christian. To serve the Lord God of heaven. But then the Lord has bestowed that honor and extended that privilege to all of His people. To all of God's people. Listen to the words of Paul. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Paul's addressing all believers. What he has said in the first part of that verse, or in the verse 10 of Romans 12, is to all believers. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. That applies to all believers. Fervent in spirit. That applies to all believers. Serving the Lord. That applies to all believers. And so the Lord has been pleased to honor us with this great privilege of serving the Lord. When I was saved, the man who led me to Christ used to wear a little pin in the lapel of his jacket. And on that pen that were the words, saved to serve. And that man, Tommy Ryan, certainly was saved to serve. He used to go around the hospitals visiting the sick and ministering to them about the Lord. We're all saved to serve, every one of us, as was Miriam. And then you'll notice also not only the privilege for Miriam, but the path for Miriam. It is very evident from our text here in Micah 6 and verse 4 that the Lord had a path for Miriam to take. Because it says, "And I sent before thee," I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. It was a path that she must take. A path she must take to assist her brothers in this business of leading Israel out of Egypt. She had been sent by the Lord on an errand of mercy. And the words of the prophet could apply to Miriam as would apply to us all. Isaiah 30 and verse 21, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right and when ye turn to the left." In many ways, Miriam heard a voice behind her saying, "This is the way. Miriam, this is the path I want you to take." And we must commend Miriam in this regard. If she heard a voice behind her saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it," we must commend her because she evidently did walk in that path. She obeyed the voice of the Lord. The Lord wanted her to serve him and to go down the pathway of service, and Miriam went down that pathway. And many of us have heard the voice of the Lord speaking to us about doing something for him. Have we heard that voice behind us? And have we then turned? Like John on the Isle of Patmos, he heard a voice behind him. And he says, "I turned to see the voice that spake with me." And dear Christian, when we hear the voice of the Lord, we do well to respond to that voice. For if we do not turn and we do not respond to that voice, we will miss out with God. How many Christians have missed out with God because they have not responded to the voice of the Lord? How many Christians should be in the mission field today because the Lord called them and they heard the voice of the Lord, but they did not respond. And they've missed out with God. And many men have heard the voice of God regarding full-time service in the ministry, but they haven't turned. And the years have come and the years have gone, and their lives are almost spent. They missed out with God because they didn't turn and hear the voice and listen to the voice and obey the voice that spoke to them. We must commend Miriam. She did respond. Then you notice the place for Miriam. Once again, we look at the Lord's words, and I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. She was one of those who went before. I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. And so we find here that Miriam went before the children of Israel. In many ways, Miriam, we can see from this verse, Miriam had leadership qualities. In all probability, the Lord had chosen Miriam that she might be able to give counsel to the women in that vast company of Israelites that came out of Egypt. Reminds us rather of what we read in the book of, in the epistle of Paul to Titus. Titus makes reference to the women there in the church. Titus 2 and verse 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. And I believe that Miriam fulfilled that role back there in the Old Testament, gave counsel and leadership to the women in that great congregation. But notice, Miriam had to know her place. This is important, as we shall see in the course of the study of Miriam. This is important. Miriam had to know her place. Because Micah 6 and verse 4 tells us, "And I send before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam." Miriam's mentioned last. Moses is mentioned first. Then Aaron, then Miriam. And as we will see in a moment or two, we discover that Miriam forgot that there was a place for her. And she tried to take the place of Moses. And you know what the Lord had to do? The Lord had to put Miriam in her place. And here we see that the Lord had a place for Moses, but her place was after Moses and Aaron. The Lord had a place for Miriam. So Miriam was sent by the Lord. And then we have Miriam's service for the Lord. Here in this text we read, "And I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam." But what did Miriam actually do? What was it the Lord had chosen her for to do? And why was she sent before the children of Israel? Would you turn, please, to Exodus 15. Exodus and the chapter 15. Now, you're familiar with Exodus, you know, by the time we get to Exodus 15, the Lord has brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. They've crossed the Red Sea. The Lord has dealt with the pursuing Egyptians. And we read in chapter 15, verse 1, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously the horse, and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." Chapter 15 is taken up primarily with the song of Moses. But go down the chapter to verse 20. and Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out with her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously, the horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." There's Miriam's service for the Lord. Here Israel has crossed the Red Sea, and Moses and the children of Israel sing together of the great victory. And we see from these verses 20 and 21 that Miriam led the women. She didn't lead the men in the singing. She led the women. We're told that. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her. And Miriam answered them, the women, "Sing ye to the Lord." She's addressing the women. Miriam, in other words, led the women in the praise of the Lord after the great victory. You see, believer, we are to praise the Lord for his goodness, because his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And here is Miriam, and she's given that position of leading the women in singing the praises of the Lord. It was important. That is important for us to acknowledge God's goodness and to praise his name. But it says here, "And Miriam the prophetess." Now that word does not necessarily mean that she was a preacher or a prophet in the sense that Isaiah was or Micah was or any of the other prophets. You turn to 1 Chronicles. We'll see how this word is used in another sense. And I believe this is how it was used in relation to Miriam. 1 Chronicles in the chapter 25. First Chronicles 25 and verse 1. Praise, of course, was important in the service of the Lord. And 1 Chronicles 25 verse 1, "Moreover, David and the captains of the host separated to the service of the sons of Asaph." Asaph was one of the song leaders in the temple. "And of Heman and Jeduthun, who should," listen, "prophesy with harps, with psalteries, and with cymbals, and the number of the workmen according to their service was." And so we see that the word prophet is used here in reference to the leading of the singing in the temple. And we find that Miriam is called a prophetess. And we find that Miriam leads the women in the singing. And it is in that sense that Miriam was a prophetess, like those who assisted Asaph. In other words, we could say that Miriam might be referred to as the prophetess of praise, as those in Asaph's day were prophets of praise. So Miriam was the prophetess of praise. She was not called to preach. She was called to praise. And she did not hesitate to take the lead in her praise. Because that leads us to consider then Miriam's song to the Lord. And here in Exodus, we find Exodus 15 again, where we have Miriam, and she joins in the song with Moses, the same words, she uses the same words as Moses used, Exodus 15 verse 1, and then Exodus 15 and verse 21. And you notice the song of Moses. It's nothing like the mushy, so-called spiritual, religious songs that we hear today, that have no substance in them. You look at the song of Moses, and it was a song of substance. There was truth in it. There was substance in it. It was a song that exalted the Lord. And Miriam joins in that song. And she wants others to join in that song also. And here we see that Miriam followed the lead of Moses. And Miriam rejoiced in what the Lord had done for Israel. And she says to the women of the camp of Israel, sing ye to the Lord. She's exhorting the women to sing. For the children of Israel, obviously it's something to sing about. And so Miriam says to them, sing ye to the Lord. She's a prophetess of praise. And dear Christian, we have something to sing about. We have something to rejoice in. Has the Lord not given us a song? Hasn't the Lord led us out of the house of bondage? We are no longer under the rule and the heel of Pharaoh. We belong to Christ. He is mine and I am his. We are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. We are on our way to heaven, and the children of the Lord have a right to shout and sing. For their way is growing bright, and the souls are on the wing. We're going by and by to the palace of the King. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And yet why do we need to be exhorted all the time to really sing our best? This is what Miriam was doing. This was her position. This was the position the Lord had called her to. Sent her before the children of Israel to lead in the singing. And here Miriam cries out, sing unto the Lord. For he hath triumphed gloriously, the horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. And hasn't the Lord give us a song? The Lord has triumphed gloriously in our lives. We ought to sing about it. We should never be reluctant to sing the praise of the Lord. Sing unto the Lord. The Lord has given us a song. He's put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. When it comes to singing, don't worry if you're in tune or out of tune. Psalmist says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That leads us now to consider a very different Miriam. A very different Miriam. It's a pity the story about Miriam doesn't end there in Exodus 15. Because now we must turn to Numbers. in the portion we read, Numbers 12. And if we have already considered the ministry of Miriam, the joyous, happy ministry, now we must consider the malice of Miriam. After her leading the praise at the Red Sea, we don't meet up with Miriam again. She's not mentioned between Exodus 15 and Numbers 12. And here in Numbers 12 we come face to face with a very different Miriam. I want us to notice the change in Miriam. The last words that we read about Miriam in Exodus 15. What was she doing? She was leading the praise of the Lord. And she was saying to the women in the camp, "Sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously." Now we get to Numbers 12. And there's a great change. And the change is evident because Miriam has lost her song. For in the first verse we read, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman, and they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" And the Lord heard it. The Lord heard it. When she was at the Red Sea with Moses and Aaron, she served in harmony with Moses. They were singing together. We have noted that. They were singing together the same song. Miriam has lost her song now and has become bitter and has become critical. She had lost the sweet note of praise, and it had been replaced by the sour note of criticism. She's not such a lovely woman now. She's not such a sweet woman now as she was over in Exodus 15. When she was singing, her eyes were upon the Lord. Isn't that what she said to the women? "Sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously." Her eyes were upon the Lord when she was singing. But when she became bitter and began to criticize God's servant, her eyes were no longer on the Lord. Her eyes were on man. What had happened? What had taken place in Miriam's life between Exodus 15 and Numbers 12? From singing Miriam to sour Miriam. From rejoicing Miriam to resentful Miriam. From blessed Miriam to bitter Miriam. Oh, Miriam, what has happened? What has taken place? How have you lost your song? How is it that you've become so bitter, so resentful, so critical of your own brother, and of God's servant. You know when someone loses their song for the Lord, it's a sign. It's a sign that there's something wrong in the heart. The heart is not right with the Lord. You've only to read Psalm 51 to know that. That psalm that David wrote, following his sin with Bathsheba. Remember what he said? He prayed, Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. David had lost his song. Why had David lost his song? Because there was something wrong in his heart. His heart was not right with God. Miriam had lost her song. And you know, whenever someone loses their song and they miss out with God, that heart of theirs suddenly becomes fertile soil for the root of bitterness to grow in. And the root of bitterness was growing in the heart of Miriam. And this root of bitterness that sprung up against God's servant, Moses. Notice the companion with Miriam. Verse 1 again, it says, of Numbers 12, and Miriam and Aaron spake. Miriam and Aaron. Whose name's first now? Miriam's first. She's in the wrong place. But here is Miriam and her brother Aaron, and they speak against Moses. We saw in Micah 6 and 4 where the Lord had placed Miriam, but she's left that place now. Now she wants to take the lead. Oh, and she takes the lead all right. She takes the lead in her criticism of Moses. She wasn't long jumping to the fore, taking up that place of prominence in her criticism of Moses. She was the instigator. And what do we find? We find that Aaron follows along. It's Miriam and Aaron. You know how it goes. Miriam was dissatisfied with Moses. Dissatisfied that he was the one who seemed to receive all the communications from the Lord. And she goes to Aaron and whispers in Aaron's ear, sows the seed. And Aaron gives ear. And says to Miriam, I'm sure, well, I never thought of it that way, but since you mentioned it, you're right. Yes, you're right what you say against Moses. I never thought of it before. And she sowed the seeds of doubt in Aaron's mind about the leadership and the ministry of Moses. And then after a while, Aaron went along with Miriam. And before you know it, the two of them are in harmony in their criticism of God's servant. Well, this tells me about Aaron. This tells me that this man Aaron was easily led. Easily influenced. You've only to go back to Exodus 32. When Moses was up the mount with God, And the children of Israel grew impatient. And they didn't know what had happened to this man, Moses. And who did they go to? They went to Aaron. And in Exodus 32, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this man Moses that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Aaron should have stood up to the people who wanted to see an idol made. He should have stood up to them, but he didn't. He was led by them. They wanted an idol made, and Aaron's the man who saw to it that the idol was made. Here's Miriam, and she comes to Aaron, the same Aaron. And lo and behold, Aaron is led along by Miriam, his sister. Aaron didn't have the courage to stand up against the children of Israel. And he didn't have the courage to stand up against his domineering sister. He didn't have the courage to stand up and defend God's servant. That's usually what happens. A disgruntled individual will seek out to influence others, and if they can find someone who's easily led, they have an ally. And here you have it in Miriam. And Aaron joins Miriam in his criticism of the Lord's servant. What was it Paul said? We quote it there from Romans 12. Be kindly affectioned one to another, with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Miriam and Aaron had none of those things. They weren't kindly affectioned toward their brother. They did not show any brotherly love. They did not honor Moses for the position that he held. They did not prefer him before themselves. For all Miriam was thinking about here was herself. We'll leave our study there for this morning. There's much, much more to learn about Miriam. We'll take up the story again tonight as we continue to look at the malice of Miriam, and then we'll finish with the memories about Miriam. Because you know the Lord has told us to remember Miriam. For what reason? We'll consider some of those interesting facts this evening. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Lord and gracious God, we praise Thee for Thy holy word. We thank Thee, Lord, for a man like Moses, who was the meekest of all men. And, O Lord, we shall see this meekness manifested in the way that he dealt with Miriam, his chief critic. O loving God, I pray that none of us who love the Lord will ever lose our song of praise. I pray, Lord, that the root of bitterness will never, ever find any place in our hearts to grow. The Lord here, as in the past, will always enjoy fellowship with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. The Lord, when we come to Thy house, We can leave behind us, leave outside the bickering and the fighting of the ungodly in the world. We can come and enjoy the blessing of fellowship with the Lord and with his people.